T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
The NFL Draft 2021 first round is tomorrow. Cranks up at 7 p.m. in live in Cleveland, Ohio. And I think for, several weeks now, we've had the number one overall pick is going to be Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback out of Clemson. That's Jacksonville Jaguars. And the number two overall pick, for some reason, Zach Wilson, the quarterback out of BYU, has been slated to be taken number two overall by the New York Jets. The number three spot in the draft has changed hands a couple of times. And right now, the number three overall pick in this year's NFL draft belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. Every quarterback that's had a pro day in the last month has somehow been linked to that number three overall pick. A major talking point across the country is what will 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan do with the number three overall pick, right? I believe that it's a no-brainer, Justin Fields. We've got a lot of people that believe it's a no-brainer, Mac Jones. And I want to take all of our opinions out of it, and I want to listen to the man himself. I want to listen to the 49ers head coach, Kyle Shanahan, and I want to take what he says into consideration when we try to decide who's going to be taken and who should be taken number three overall. I want you to listen. This is Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, and this is him. He was asked specifically about, have defenses discovered or figured out a way to stop your zone read run concept that we saw Kubiak do here with Arian Foster. We've seen Shanahan do it forever, his pops and him. Very simple question, but I want you to listen to how he answers it.
No, there isn't anything to figure out. It's a very sound scheme. It's how do you want to attack it? What do you want to do off of it? When they 100% commit to stop it, which you can, but that opens up everything else. So what do you do to scare them out of everything else? Is your quarterback good enough at running with the football to make them commit to stop it? And once they do, is he good enough to make the passes that he has to that they just opened up? And if he is, that's a huge issue. It's tough to find always that guy. And if you don't protect him right and you don't do the right stuff, it is tough to stay healthy. People talk about that 2012 year, but I mean, our running game was 70% outside zone. It was one-third zone read, but everyone was scared of it. So they played for it every play, which is why Alfred Morris led the league in rushing, or it was because of the threat of zone read, which allows you to do a ton of other stuff. That doesn't mean you have to, it's not your base offense, but if you're in pistol or shotgun, you can run it at any time. And defenses have been playing 11 against 10 for so long, and now all of a sudden you have to play 11 on 11, and if you're not, it changes everything you do.
Let me clean that up for y'all. If you got a running quarterback, if you got a quarterback that's a threat to run the football in Kyle Shanahan's offense particularly, then you're playing 11 on 11. If you've got a passing quarterback, if you've got a quarterback that there's no threat to run, then you're playing 11 on 10, just like the football has always been played, right? That's Kyle Shanahan himself telling you that his game, his game plan, his offense is 11 on 11. He can't say it any more clear. When a coach says, hey, man, with a running quarterback, we're playing 11 on 11. Without a running quarterback, we're playing 10 on 11. He tells you that he's at a disadvantage. He's got a disadvantage if he has a quarterback that can't move. And at this point in time, at that number three overall pick, Mac Jones doesn't give you that opportunity, guys.
Doesn't sound like Mac Jones to me.
Mac Jones is not a threat to run the football. He doesn't give you the opportunity. You're playing 10 on 11 with Mac Jones. Guess what you're doing with Jimmy Garoppolo? Damn sure now that he's coming off injury. Guess what you're doing with Jimmy Garoppolo? You're playing 10 versus 11. Guess what? Justin Fields, who yesterday I showed you that Urban Meyer believes he's in the top three quarterback prospects along with Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields ran a 4.4. Justin Fields is sitting at 230. Justin Fields is the guy that could consistently be a threat immediately because it doesn't. This is what they've done in college. This isn't get to the league, hope he can or he can't do it. No, this is what they've done in college, right? It's a concept you don't have to teach him. All you got to do is call it and let the kid play, right? So it actually minimizes what you have to teach the quarterback because a good bulk of your offense should be run, zone heavy run, and the zone read concepts. And all I can say is we do a lot of talking several weeks in advance of the draft. And there's a lot of reasons thrown out there why coaches may or may not take a player. I'm sticking to my guns with Justin Fields at the number three overall pick because of what Urban Meyer said yesterday and because what I just presented to you that Kyle Shanahan has said recently. Look, this is one of them deals where the year he talked about 2012, it was the magical year of RG3. Shout out to all my Baylor Bears fans out there.
Robert.
800-plus yards rushing in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Alfred Morris, 1,600-plus yards rushing and 13 touchdowns in that offense. I can't walk away from hearing Shanahan talk about that zone read concept where that quarterback has the ability to keep it and think that he is real interested, or let me put it to you this way, real tired of falling short with a quarterback that can't run, what he fell short with Matt Ryan. If they'd have been able to run the football in that Super Bowl against New England Patriots back in the day, they may have been able to ice it. You know, over the last few years, he's had Jimmy Garoppolo and who are the other two? You rattled them off earlier,
Bethard and Nate Mullins.
Those guys aren't running the football. They're not a run threat.
I'm just going off the comps that you gave in the last segment, and you gave comps to all of these players. The three players that are potentially going to be there, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. You gave comps to if all things happened perfectly for them and everything was aligned the right way.
Right.
What their ceiling, realistic ceiling would be. Yours for Mac Jones was Matt Ryan. That doesn't sound like what he's talking about, 10 against 11.
Yeah, that ain't going to get it done.
But what does is Steve McNair or Randall Cunningham.
So here you go.
Those are guys that can move just based off the comps of if everything happened perfect. That just don't sound like what he's talking about with Mac Jones.
So let me introduce y'all to the number three overall pick to the 49ers. Based off of what Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, has said, let me introduce you to the guy.
Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Fields is going to pull the trigger. Sends airmail deep down the middle of field for Williams. Oh! Got it! Touchdown, Justin Fields with his sixth touchdown pass of the night.
Those six touchdown passes came in the CFP semifinal. The national title game didn't go as well, but most other things did for Fields. Back-to-back Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year awards, 67 career touchdown passes with just 9 picks. Fields is a great leader with a strong arm. He'll take a hit to make a throw and runs well enough to keep defenses honest. The key to his NFL success is improving on the finer points of the position.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Number three. Your number three pick in tomorrow's draft.
That, huh?
Justin Fields. That's if, because the same thing applies to the Jets. Because remember, they're running Shanahan's offense. That's if the Jets don't like Justin Fields at number two. Mark that down. If it happens, you owe me a steak dinner, Chief.
I do owe you a steak dinner if that happens. And Zach Wilson will be the quarterback.
Blue 80. Easy. White 90. Again, the draft starts up tomorrow. First round, 7 p.m. live in Cleveland. I'm going to be at Twin Peaks drinking some cold Coors. I don't know where you plan on being, but I'm going to soak it up right there. And for all my Cowboys fans out there, I know the Cowboys are talking about being excited about possibly trading out of the top 10. Sitting at number 10 right now. But I'm here to do it. I'm going to call my shot again, show. Well, I'm lucky I didn't mess that up and get in trouble. Hit that dump button right there.
Hit that dump button.
Yeah, I stayed tight. Cowboys fans, let me introduce you to your number 10 overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft.
Patrick Surtain II, cornerback, Alabama.
Rodgers stands in, has protection, looks and throws, intercepted, Alabama, taken to the house, Patrick Surtain, touchdown, Alabama.
Surtain plays like he was raised by a three-time Pro Bowler, confident and technically sound. Add in a great mix of size and length, and you get a lockdown corner. Surtain allowed just 4 touchdowns in 3 seasons in Tuscaloosa. He capped off his career as a unanimous All-American and SEC Defensive Player of the Year. But he's not perfect. Surtain could be faster and stronger.
I just got stuck on the word lockdown corner. You give me a lockdown corner in Dallas with the Cowboys, it's an absolute game changer. Hell, you give me a lockdown corner anywhere, it's an absolute game changer. So there you have it. For the Cowboy fans out there, there's a little something for you to think about.
I agree with you.
Patrick Surtain, come on, man.
I think you like Horn, though, don't you? I like Horn. I like them both. I like Fairley, too, from Virginia Tech. But I think a misconception is that the Cowboys, they always do silly stuff. Be honest, if you look at what they've done over the past years, they generally make solid decisions in the draft. Like, they generally do, and I don't think they'll go away from that.
Just a quick heads up, Sports Radio 610, we got you covered 6A to 6P every single day, along with a little Texans All Access that follows up after our show. Friday night, Texans All Access, we will crank up, and I'm joining Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, starting at 6 p.m. So as soon as our show goes off the air Friday, those guys will jump in studio and we'll tag team that second day of the draft start to finish. We'll go from 6 p.m. to whenever it's over, and obviously about midway we'll be breaking down the Texans' 67th overall pick early in the third round. Whatever it is they do, if they trade back, it's going to be a short breakdown. But if they do indeed make a selection, we'll have it for you. Make sure you stay locked in to Sports Radio 610. Also on Saturday, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and Wade Smith, former Houston Texans offensive lineman, will be in with them for the final day of the draft for I believe it'd be the 4th through 7th rounds where the Texans will have several picks. Just give you a little word of the wise, man. Stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610 for that draft coverage. It'll be second to none. That's for damn sure.
That's right. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Big news coming from Minute Maid and the Houston Astros. It's not good news, if I'm going to be honest with you. We will let you know exactly what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
News coming from the Astros, Clint. Yordan Alvarez is out for health and safety reasons. That about
30
minutes ago. Yes, that's right. The big fella.
Every damn time we have something nice, he's going screw it up.
He just can't have nice stuff.
Every damn time.
That's Dusty Baker. He announced that earlier today. Dusty also spoke to the media and went into a little bit more detail about it.
Is Alvarez healthy?
No, that's he's out for health and safety reasons, and hopefully we'll know more later. That's all I can tell you. I mean, it could be nothing. Yeah, it could be nothing. You know, whenever everybody gets alarmed now, when you sneeze, when you cough, if you got an upset stomach, if you got diarrhea, it don't matter. I mean, everything is very concerning in these modern times. So we just hope that it's not.
Short change, but a lot more detail.
He didn't have to throw squirts in there, man.
And the diarrhea. Well, he had to.
That really turns folks' stomach. That turned folks awful. I mean, that's just one of them. I don't mind it, but that's just one of them.
Do you think that's happening? Like, you go to safety protocol if you get too many sneezes in? Like if you're in a cage and... Mouse Straw just sneezed 4 times. Come on, man.
They ain't living right. That ain't gonna happen.
That
ain't gonna happen. I'm not gonna see you. You just really tempted me to do a drive by on Miles Straw. I know what you're doing right there.
I did not.
You were trying to get me to drive by.
It was the first player's name that came to my mind. Isn't Miles Straw the first player that comes to your mind when you think of the Astros? Think of an Astros player. Didn't Miles Straw that pops right up into your mind? It is for me.
Tried to set me up right
I
there.
I didn't try to set you up, but I'm just saying, is that what it sneezes and coughs? That is interesting if that is the case.
I don't know. I fat-thumbed our safety app today. I fat-thumbed it and I accidentally hit yes.
Did you?
Yeah. I immediately got an email like, hey, man, did you make a mistake or is that do we need to
step out?
I was like, no, that was a mistake. I clearly fat-thumbed that thing. It was an accident. Yeah, that's right. Around here, we run a tight ship around here now. This is I said tight ship. Y'all relax a little bit.
I'm relaxed. That's on Tyler.
But yeah, no, I mean, I would imagine so. I'd imagine that the Astros are running a little tighter ship than we are around here. And heck, I thought I was.
Well, this is the second time you're done.
I fat thumbed the loss of taste and smell. Apparently hit yes.
Yeah, you haven't lost that.
Corporate reached out and said, whoa. Back up, Terry. Don't get on that elevator. Back up.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Yes, indeed. I said, no, hey, man, look, hey.
I'm good.
Fat thumb, man, I'm good. I can still taste and smell everything.
Yeah, it's just second time in the last week and a half that Alvarez himself has been placed on the health and safety protocols along with the other.
I'm going to put this on you.
Come on, man.
I mean, you don't like Carlos Correa batting sixth, yada, yada, yada. You just run your head until Dusty hears you, and he's like, well, let's go on.
Let's go on four slows out of that six hole. No, he better not be batting sixth, I tell you that. He better not be batting sixth tonight. I'll be damned if he is batting sixth. Now, I'm kicking off the show on draft day to go off on Dusty tomorrow.
Come on, man. Put old Lemus Diaz. Put old Diaz in there.
Oh, you son.
Who's hitting the ball well by? Tucker, did he get a hit last night? He finally got a hit last night. Yeah, and second baseman fielded it. Ball got stuck in his glove. Was that Tucker?
He might.
He
you know, he likes his right, left, right thing. He might slide Tucker in front of him. Oh,
there you go.
That's a lot of hits.
I'm not even going to let you do it. See, you did that to me.
I was listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning. I was listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning on my Rewind app. And
Odyssey
app Rewind feature. Sorry about that. Let me clean that up. If you don't have the Odyssey app, something's wrong. We need to get it, man. You need to stay in tune when you're at home and a smart speaker at the office, all that good stuff. Tell your friends about it, too. But I was listening to Payne and Pendergast, and Seth went on and on about all these advanced stats that Kyle Tucker is really, really impressive with. And so after hearing that, I thought,
The X stats.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm combining that with this report right here and Dusty Baker's left, right, left, right. I mean, hell, it all makes sense. Why wouldn't you?
That dusty old DJ drama. Left, right, left. Get on up.
I didn't know if you were old enough to remember that one. That was good.
My God.
That was old good. Enough. That was but look, I think I may have just put a plan together to support why Kyle Tucker should bat fifth. Left, right, left, right. The manager believes in it. My man Seth Payne this morning gave me some legit, like, advanced stats that support him. He's really contacting the ball well, and it's just a matter of time.
So you're giving, even though yesterday you were in here holding the flag of Los batting leadoff, now you got him.
Talking about my thought. We're talking about yours of him. Like, you're really beside yourself. He's batting six.
If he won't be tonight. I won't believe it. I will not believe it. If he's batting six tonight,
hold on,
Dusty's not doing it. He won't do it, Tyler.
We come in here tomorrow,
I don't like it whenever he starts smiling and laughing like that when he's angry. It's terrifying.
I don't like. He's not doing that. He's not doing
that. That's why I feel sexy.
Look, Yordan Alvarez is out. We're guessing it's COVID protocol. What are they calling it now?
Health and safety protocol.
Health and safety measures.
And I think gets to the point as you scream, "Damn it!" right off the top.
Yes.
Of this is. Things were looking so have been looking so good of late, especially since they've gotten all their guys back. And you look at the performance that Christian Javier put together, 7 innings, and he's in the midst of a 17-inning scoreless streak. Like, they are rolling through winners of 5 of 6, now 2 back of the A's from first place. And you're, like, above 500. You're feeling good. And then, damn, this dude, that's the big part. You watched the performance yesterday from Christian Javier and the performance you've been getting from your starting rotation here of late, this run through, if Zach Greinke has another solid start tonight, this will be the complete run through of the rotation, all having really good starts.
I like your voice.
And now you're done. You're done. You just hope this doesn't take a turn like it did the last time people start going on for health and safety protocols, which led to them losing 9 of 10.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is right. You hope that it doesn't, the Yordan Alvarez issues don't compound into Altuve and good Lord, not Yuli Gurriel right now, because he's absolutely crushing it. So yeah, you hope it stays with one player and doesn't affect several of them. Because look, I mean, these guys are hot right now. They're hot at the right time.
Damn it!
What happened?
I'm gonna run out into ongoing traffic right now.
Hold on, so
here's the starting lineup.
Oh, it's out.
Jose Altuve leading off. Michael Brantley batting second.
I know what he says.
Alex Bregman batting third. Kyle Tucker is batting fourth. Yuli fifth. And Carlos Correa. Who's protecting him? Who you think's protecting him? Chaz McCormick.
My boy Chaz. White boy Chaz.
He's protected by Chaz and Miles Straw. Dusty!
That's a lot of hits.
You don't like Hey, for the record, I was joking.
Do they just want him to leave? Is that what it is? Do they just want Los to leave? That's right. If you didn't want to pay him, that's fine. Chaz McCormick and Miles Straw.
But what are they going to say now?
How many take ones for the team does Los have to take?
Hey, they can't go righty-righty.
Yes, they can.
They can't go righty-righty at 4-5. They can only do that 5-6.
Don't be a knucklehead.
Can't do it at 4-5. That's a tough – that is –
Come on, man.
Dusty's committed. He was committed. He's committed
to
this right.
Is he laughing at me?
No, look, he's committed to this right, left in the lineup almost as strong as he was to Toro last year. This is bordering Toro.
I'm over Dusty today.
White boy
Chaz. Can Brent, what's Brent Strom's lineup look like? Sixth? Well, I guess somebody's got to be protected by Miles Straw and Chaz McCormick, and I guess it's going to be you.
That's tough sledding, man. It'll be all right,
bro. How
does that make you feel as the leader
Kyle Tucker, I guess we'll put Kyle in the cleanup spot.
How does that make you feel as the leader of the Los Correa fan club?
You just have to fight through adversity.
That's right. You got to be your strongest in times of adversity.
You have to fight through adversity.
That's right.
Are they going to send? Maybe they'll send Christian Javier to Sugar Land again.
That'd be a terrible idea.
Maybe they'll skip. This is a terrible idea too.
Let's not just have the wheels come off because Carlos isn't batting where you wanted to bat. Now let's pump the brakes a bit. I don't like it.
The text line trying to push me, and I know you are. Tell show he don't know nothing about baseball. You know what you could do? You can kiss my ass. Carlos Correa batting sixth is stupid.
He's got a long crack, by the way. That would
be a lot of it for you to kiss. Even though it's 97 pounds lighter, there's a lot of it there for you to kiss.
Yeah, you lose weight, you don't lose the length of crack, or do you? Maybe depth. You lost a little depth.
You're not making me smile.
You've lost a little depth. Maybe
this is
not length. Okay,
this is ridiculous. Hold on, I'm sorry. Where would you have him? Am I tripping? Sixth?
No, you're not tripping. Now that's a tough one for me to stomach.
This is almost as bad as when they had him batting sixth and Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman.
This,
we're all out of the lineup.
This would have been a great example to bump him up to one or two and then bump Bregman back to the four hole.
And so on.
Or who would that put in a – yeah, it put Yuli at six. No, it put Yuli at five. It put Tucker at six.
I go back to our guy, Robert Flores, who said, at some point I understand you want to do the right, left, right thing, but at some point you just got to put your best hitters and have them get the most at-bats. And he's getting six. And you got it. Like, why would you throw anything worth a damn to him with those two guys coming behind him?
Why would you throw anything worth a damn to Bregman?
Yeah, with Kyle Tucker coming by. Why? Yes. Last night, another two walks.
He's really frustrated.
I mean, I just don't understand it.
I know everybody. I know you can't see faces on radio, but I tell you what. Show is disgusted right now. This is really painful because Uncle Dusty, he's not, man. Dusty Baker's not a guy that you want to get frustrated with, but Show's frustrated.
I don't, man. I'm going to have to drop Unc.
No. Ain't no way in hell.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
And when I say Unc, I don't mean Michael Brantley. I mean Uncle. I'm just going to start calling him Dusty. All right, Clint. I'm not going to let this get to me. I'm having a great day. Clint is going to clear the air on something he said about the number one pick in the draft. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint, you've given your thoughts on all these quarterbacks, and you've given your thoughts on the guy who's going to be the number one quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who the quarterback out of Clemson, it looks like Jacksonville will use their number one pick, and he'll be in the division, and the Texans will have to face him twice a year. The thing that you said, if you looked at, you said, what I don't know, what I would wonder about with Trevor Lawrence is, does he have that elite alpha? Does he have that alpha in him going to an organization like Jacksonville? I feel like you may need to clarify exactly what you mean, because I think there are some folks who look at that as you're pushing it as a big negative.
Well, look, I mean, here's the deal. This is what I tweeted. I tweeted this, I don't know, several days ago. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't work in the NFL, it'll be because he's not the level alpha that's required to lead an organization out of a dysfunctional state. Takes a special kind of alpha. Can he thrive in and through the adversity that has crushed many a head coach and quarterback? I then went back, and because that drew a little bit of negative pushback. I then went back and I retweeted. I said, for all my soft folks out there, and I did spell soft, S-A-W-F-T.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
Woo! There you go. This isn't a negative opinion. It means every other box with four sides is checked when talking about Trevor Lawrence. And again, look, banter back and forth was really good. Well, then I was driving this morning, which I always do. I'm a loop. What is it called?
A loophole.
I'm a loophole. I listen to the guys, and the midday guys were talking about it, and the alpha aspect of playing the position. And I just thought, you know, I mean, I probably really should clarify what – I didn't think I would need to, but I probably should clarify what all that means, because it's not a real difficult concept to wrap your head around. It's not a negative, first of all. It's not a negative take. It's not a find a negative about the guy. It's an unknown that there's no way that we will ever know whether that box is checked until he is in an organization that is has been in a dysfunctional state for several years, to the point where there's a lack of talent, there's a lack of leadership, there's a lack of chemistry, there's a lack of culture. There's all these things that he will ultimately be expected to fix. Him and Urban Meyer will be expected to fix all of the problems that are in Jacksonville. And that's not the same as Tom Brady and what he did in New England. It's not the same as what a player may get drafted by, like whoever gets drafted by the 49ers this year. It's not the same. There's all of these different factors that matter. And number one, it's not a negative opinion. It is very, very real that what Trevor Lawrence and whoever the number two pick is, it just happens to be right now that Zach Wilson has been the favorite to go number two to the New York Jets. Those two quarterbacks will have to be on another planet in terms of the type of alpha they are, right? These guys will have to take over a locker room.
Why them? Why?
Well, they, I mean, I'm assuming they're getting drafted. Yeah. I'm assuming that's where they go.
That's what I think. If they go 1 and 2 to Jacksonville and the Jets, why they got to be on a
different Because when you go number one or number two overall, I don't care if you're going to the 49ers, an established football team, or the Dolphins, that's a 10-win football team, or you go to a team that clearly has been in a state of dysfunction for multiple years, the expectations are that you win, and in 2021, the expectations are unfair, and you're supposed to win pretty quickly. And it takes a special kind of leader, a special kind of alpha to go into that building and not only – survive that rebuild or survive during those tough times of when the locker room is split when the locker room is full of guys that that head coach and that GM didn't bring in, they don't know their job security, what their job security is. They a lot of times those organizations, they deal with things that winning organizations don't deal with in terms of rifts between players and coaches and things of that nature. It's just an absolute monster for that particular quarterback to deal with. And it's unfortunate. Well, it's not unfortunate, but it's the reality of it is we won't know. I'm not sitting here saying Trevor Lawrence doesn't have X. So I'm not finding something negative. I'm not looking at the negative side of this player and beating him up. I'm simply telling you the dude checks every box except the one that we won't know if he checks until he's in the middle of the heat and it's either too hot for him and he's got to get out of the kitchen or he's standing over there with the apron on and he's cooking like it's just another day at the office. We'll find out.
It's very fair, and it's what my question would be about him too. And I think it's very fair and not just anything to just throw away because it's pretty important. Like, it's pretty important that your top dude, and they expect Trevor Lawrence to be their top guy. Like, this is the guy that's going to lead us into the success that we want to have at Jacksonville. Like, it's behind Trevor Lawrence. That's pretty important to have your quarterback, your lead guy, be a guy that other grown-ass men will follow. Be a guy that sets the tone. Because if he's not that guy, then they're going to need some Bill Parcells, some Mike Tomlin type, or he's going to need some Ray Lewis type guy, some yeah. Ed Reed type guy that is so strong that he doesn't have to be the alpha in the room. And those don't just happen often. It's generally yeah. coming from the quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. My time in the league, there was, I mean, look, I had like literally Wannstedt and Campo as two head coaches, Miami and Dallas, and then I spent some time with Parcells in Dallas before he cut me. There's no question about it. Like, the two dudes, Campo that was before Parcells and then Dave Wannstedt that was in Miami, I mean, those they're not out. They're not the level of alpha that can have a quarterback not be an alpha. You know what I mean? Like, those two guys needed the quarterback to ultimately be the guy that held everybody accountable for showing up on time and being where they're supposed to be. And I mean, 10 different things before they ever got in the huddle and went to practice. I mean, are you here on time? Are you hydrating? Are you eating right? Are you in the weight room? Are you passing your test, your conditioning test before training camp so that you can practice with us? Like, there's certain quarterbacks and certain organizations where, hell, the quarterbacks and the leaders on the team, they have to police that, right? Now, Parcells was a guy that it didn't matter he didn't need his quarterback to be an alpha because he held everybody accountable. If a receiver dropped a ball in a 7-on-7 drill and he saw it, he was ripping that ass. It was over. I mean, you were standing on the sideline and whoever the next guy up was in.
But at the counter, like, Troy didn't have a problem being that guy.
Troy had no problem being that guy. Now, I don't know, early in his career when he first got there, I would venture to say that Troy's been the elite alpha since day one. Yeah. But when I was there, there's no question that Troy was that dude. Like, he would hold people accountable on a consistent basis at practice, in games. And it was just a – now, this came with winning Super Bowls and being a future Hall of Famer, but it was just like, hey, the expectations are this, and if you don't meet them, get the hell out of here. And Troy had the ability to go to Campo or go to Jerry and go, hey, man, this dude over here, he's BSing, man, get him up out of here. Troy had the ability to call guys higher-ups and go, hey, man, you're wasting your time with these dudes right here. Get them up out of here and get me some young bloods in here that can go. I mean, that's the kind of – when I was around Troy, that's what went down. But Parcells – is more relevant to this conversation because I think Parcells is a guy. Is Urban Meyer and
Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh, are those two guys? Are they like ultra elite alphas that will like Bill Belichick an organization to where if you don't check your cell phone at the front door when you come in?
I feel like Urban's been that. At least a control freak.
Right.
Like, yeah, I feel like in college he's been that. Right. Now, he's never coached grown men. But
right. Well, if those guys, Robert Saleh and Urban Meyer, if they're that type of coach, then it will help tremendously in what Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson end up having to do from a leader standpoint. I'm just telling you that I've been a part of an organization that was dysfunctional from start to finish, and it was damn near impossible to lead that locker room. I mean, it was for guys like Quincy Carter and guys like Chad Hutchinson, and I mean, it was damn near impossible. And then you look across the field and you're looking at a squad that's got the stars are aligning, everybody's on the same page, and it's just a beautiful work of art. And that is what Trevor Lawrence has always dealt with his entire life. Is he stepped, yeah, there's been high expectations because he's a great player, but he stepped into a situation and there's always been a great play caller. There's always been an above average offensive line. There's always been above average skilled players. In fact, when Trevor Lawrence went to Clemson, I mean, hell, some will argue that whether it was the year he got there or his second year, they took over the number one program in America over Alabama there for a couple of years. I don't know that they're still there, but they definitely were in that conversation of who's one, who's two, and it was about Clemson and Alabama. I mean, the guy's always had an unbelievable amount of support, and those things aren't going to be there. Right? There's going to be half the locker room in Jacksonville that's going to buck the system because they don't like Urban Meyer. There's going to be half. They're going to be half of that locker room.
And there's probably going to be some people looking at him like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's this dude?
Yeah, no question. No question.
Long-haired dude. Who's...
No question. But there's going to be play. And my point is that becomes Trevor's problem.
Yes.
Right? Because the expectations aren't going to change. There's going to be half that locker room that were – who was the last coach that was in there at Jacksonville?
No.
It's not Mike Pettine.
Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone. Right, there's going to be half of that locker room that were Doug Marrone guys that just love Doug Marrone. They don't like Urban's message. Maybe it's a quarter of the locker room. Hell, I don't know what. Let's not get hung up on percentages here. There's going to be guys in that locker room that have experience in the NFL, well beyond Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to like Urban Meyer, and it's going to come down to, does Trevor have the ability to rally the other 75% to overcome the 25%? Does he have the ability to relate to and have great chemistry with some of those guys that aren't in line with Urban Meyer to get them on board? And that's all going to impact their ability to win. And he's going to have a 3-year window. If they're not winning and they're not playoff contenders in year three for Trevor Lawrence, he failed. And that's major, major expectations and major weight for one young cat to have on his shoulders.
I mean, and I think also a part of this is we're talking about Clint is clarifying what he meant about with Trevor Lawrence and his concerns or questions about the alpha. Does he have enough of that alpha in him to run this organization? And that is, you got to understand where he's going. He's not going to an organization that is established as being a well-run organization. Hell, really, it's all new. They got rid of Tom Coughlin in the last couple of years and their new coach and everything. I mean, this is an organization since 2007 that's been in the playoffs once. Like, this isn't a successful organization like Ben went to when he went to Pittsburgh, or like Deshaun did at an organization going to the playoffs like he did with Houston. This is an organization that's been in the playoffs one time since 2007.
So it's not even...
there's something to that too. Like, you're coming to Jacksonville.
No question. This is like, dang, Siri talking to me. This is, I mean, think about like Drew Locke going to Denver. At least Drew Locke has like Von Miller,
yeah,
and a couple of cats in the locker
room.
John
Elway, an organization that has some level of success in its recent past history.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not. It's just a different animal there. And look, and I want to clarify too. Like, this has nothing to do with the Sports Illustrated article. Like, I think I've said that multiple times in our show. Like, the Sports Illustrated article that came out on Trevor Lawrence talking about how he questioned his love for the game, and I think his dad made a couple of comments. When we first talked about that, I said it from the jump. Like, I don't give a damn what his dad thinks. I don't care that he says, well, I could live without football. What I care about is if he can walk in the building and take over the room, lead the locker room, and if he grinds at a level that – you have to grind at to be a big-time quarterback in this league, right? Is he the last one in the door and the first one out? That ain't going to cut it, right? I don't care what his dad says. I don't care if he's got other interests off the field. If when he walks in the door, he does everything it takes to get that organization to a winning position. I don't give a rip about all that. So it has nothing to do with the Sports Illustrated article. It's just simple. It's just very, very simple. The most difficult thing, when we talk about the draft, the most difficult thing is a quarterback going top five to an organization that's dysfunctional and has been for a while.
And we've seen like for every Peyton Manning who fits that build, we can name so many others that have gone in what you're talking about, top five, top 10 to an organization that has been dysfunctional or a struggling organization and get eaten alive.
I mean, the Jets just did it.
Joey Harrington with the Lions, the Jets, they've done it a couple of times. The Raiders with Jamarcus Russell. I mean, we can, like, for every, like, it's harder to name Peyton and like, going to an organization that is down, that is.
Well, it's understood that when you go to those organizations, like, it's like, this is very relevant to the Texans right now, right? I mean, it's one of those where the Texans right now, if they were to draft, if they were to have a first-round draft pick this year, be sitting number three, which they should, if they were sitting number three right now and wanted to take a quarterback, we would be having that conversation about this football team. You think this is a locker room, because it's all relative to what's going on with organizations that are winning, right? This is a locker room where the star players can't wait to get out. That's where this team was when the season ended, right? And you're up against Kansas City in Tampa Bay, where players can't wait to get back in.
Players are breaking their contracts to make less money to get people in.
Would you just talk about Tampa? They re-signed all 22 starters?
All 22 starters are coming back. First time a Super Bowl team is doing that in ever.
I mean, so that's what you're up against. That's where you're trying to get. And you, in reality, that young cat, if the Texans had that number three overall pick, they would be drafting a guy and handing him the keys to a car where players recently have been wanting to force their way out. We can talk about players, quarterbacks that haven't worked out and how they've just have really struggled or just blatantly failed under the pressure of what we're talking about. And some of it's on the players. I mean, they got off the field issues. They're just not capable for many reasons of bringing an organization out of dysfunctional state. That's part of it too. I'm just saying, it's a bear. What whoever's drafted number one and whoever's drafted number two, presumably Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. That takes a special kind of dude to not just survive it, because he's expected to thrive. That's the key. Yeah.
He's been tied to Peyton Manning, the next Peyton Manning, or Andrew Luck.
Yes.
That's a little different than the last time they drafted in the top five a quarterback in Blake Bortles. That's a little different level of expectation. And once again, we're not saying he can't do it. It's just a legit question and wonder. That's not something he had to do. Will he be able to lead men? Listen, big news coming from the Astros. The lineup is out as well, and it's not great news. The Astros are going to have to work through some adversity again. We'll tell you exactly what that is next.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.